I have to say this a while ago. This is really cool. This is when you know God speaks to you, because you can't come up with this stuff yourself because you're not smart enough. When Dwayne said that about division, I just heard the Lord very clearly say, the enemy is out for division. I'm out for the opposite. And I immediately said to him, oh, unity. He said, no, multiplication. Think of that. He took loaves and fishes and multiplied. Everything he touches multiplies. Everything he says multiplies. He will give you abundantly above all you can ask or even think. Exceedingly, it's actually the word hooper something. Hooper with a Y. Did you know? Just so you know, you want to be Greek scholars. Every time you see a Y in the Bible, I mean in the Greek language, it's normally a U. I know you feel smart now, don't you? Hey, we're going to keep going with this whole healing, understanding, talking thing. Last week, we exposed the fact that we have felt like we were supposed to be sick. Use the prayer shawl to help you understand there is healing in His wings. But the truth is, guys, we really have these subconscious beliefs, and we have to expose them so that we understand what is going on, what deters, stops, or whatever. This whole understanding of Jesus and God and what He did on the cross. And I think we all have this understanding, especially if you hang around here very much. You understand that in the Bible's very clear, Isaiah prophesied it, Jesus did it, and that is, by His stripes we are healed. I think everybody in here will say we are. Everybody will agree with that. But there's a struggle beyond that, because we know we are, but we don't believe that He really wants to. And so that's one of the things I want to expose today. Let me just run through these notes real quick. We have these opinions that are embedded in us, and they're embedded in us as if they are truth, and they are not truth. We've just been believed that it was supposed to be truth. And guys, we have to know the truth about Jesus before we're going to understand the truth about healing. If you don't believe that He loves you and desires everything for you like you love your own child, there is not one parent, I don't care how much your child aggravates you, there's not one of you that wants your child sick. Not one of you. I don't care how bad they are. I don't care if they stole something from you. There's, and this is human love. Do you get it? I'm talking about a love that's way beyond human love. I'm talking about the guy who created us and loves us and died for us and did all that. And I say it all the time, but it is so true. But we have to understand it and believe it. But you're not going to believe something you don't believe. I want you to hear what I just said. You're not going to believe something you don't believe. You know, some would say, well, you know, the Cowboys, they're going to go 16-0. I believe that. No, you don't. You don't believe that. Come on. You get it. We've got to take all this Christianese stuff that is in us. Listen, this Jesus guy is about every single day of our lives. What my wife just said, it's not just about church time. Thank God we're gathering, and you know what? We need to multiply. This church needs to multiply, and I don't mean add, because we have got to get people to understand the depth of the love that Jesus has for them. And man, that is such a simple thing to do in the understanding of it when you really start believing it, but you've got to really believe it. Let me get on point here, kind of here. I said it again, sorry. So we've been taught, again, I talked about this a little bit last week, we've been taught that God put sickness on us to teach us something, that it was His will for us to patiently wait because He's teaching us something. We exposed that last week. And how can we have faith in God to heal us if we believe that He's putting it on us? Common sense, right? So if it's God's will for me to be sick, then I shouldn't want to be well. We exposed all that and got rid of that. Today, I want to touch one more thing, one more understanding, and let's read the scripture and then we'll talk about it. We're going to marinate right here at this scripture. And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching Him and falling on his knees before Him and saying, if You are willing, You can make me clean. And moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. We all know the story. It's in three of the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospels, by the way, just so you know, if you didn't. And they're in three of the four Gospels, so we know this story very well. But here's what I want us to do. I want us to pause for a second and understand this leper just didn't pop into the scene. This isn't like a stage show where Jesus is kind of hanging around and then walks this leper. Hey, dude, you can heal me if you would. In fact, if you read the account that's in Matthew, Jesus had just finished three chapters, 5, 6, and 7, three chapters of teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. This leper had to be somewhere in the area. Now, understand, he had leprosy, so he could not be near people, all right? But he was hearing something, because you just don't go up to somebody you don't have a clue about or just has a reputation. There was something that he gained from this. So somehow he was, and it's common sense that he was listening to what Jesus was saying. And when, Jesus started out with all the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, which literally means blessed are those who recognize they need. Do you hear that? That's what poor in spirit means. Recognize the fact that you do need. Blessed are you, poor in spirit. Blessed. And so he heard this. And then Jesus would you know, the people, the Bible always says that the people were amazed at Jesus' teaching. Incorporated in his teaching was constantly questions that he asked. And incorporated in this whole understanding of Jesus, because remember, this leper, his whole focus, his whole knowledge was of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and that kind of church. Do you hear what I'm saying? Where he was distanced, he was unclean. He couldn't go into the sanctuary. He couldn't go into the temple. He couldn't go into the synagogue. He couldn't go. So his understanding and view of God was as warped as most people are in our, just to stay in our city, just in our city. We all have this warped understanding that God is this big mean character that's ready to squash us. And that's where this leper was. Nobody would be in contact with him. The only thing that he would have around him is animals. I'm sure there were some birds that he probably fed and some little animals around. You hear what I'm saying? So here he is, and he's hearing this guy. Well, then Jesus, in Jesus' teaching, and he says these words. He says, you can't serve God, he said, and be enslaved to money. Now, when he said that, I'm sure the leper thought, oh, go, here we go. Now this rabbi is going to say everything that the Pharisees and the Sadducees have been saying. So that's why you have got to tithe, and you've got to, when you cut that pickle in half, which is, by the way, when I say that, it's true. They would, in the King James Version, it's called coming, where Jesus said to them when he told them, he said, yes, of course you should tithe, but you need to pay attention more to the mercy. He says, because what you're doing, you're tithing on every little coming, C-U-M-M-I-N. It's that seed in a pickle. So they literally, evidently, would count out, oh, there's 20 seeds in this pickle. I'm going to give two of these seeds, okay? So when Jesus said this, that you can't serve God and be enslaved to money, I'm sure he thought that would be the next thing that would be said, because he had never seen the Son of God. And so what happened was, then Jesus asked a question. Instead of hammering them about why you should be giving, Jesus said, why do you worry if you have enough food, drink, or clothing? And then another question he asked, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? And I'm sure the leper was thinking, holy smoke, yeah, this clothes hurt me because my skin is so messed up. This guy had a heavy leprosy on him. And then Jesus said, did you get those, Jeremy, did you get those pictures I sent you last night? Okay. I was going to show two pictures, but it's cool. Then Jesus said, look at the birds. Now, see, when we read this in the Bible, we just see this picture, Jesus sitting there saying, look at the birds. I think Jesus was in this beautiful setting at the Sea of Galilee. It's beautiful there. Just the water's awesome. Seagulls flying all over the ocean and stuff. I'm sure Jesus said, look at the birds. He incorporated the people into the message. Do you hear me? He always did this parable thing, yes. He was smart enough not to get so theologically over the top that everybody missed the point. That's why he did this. But I think he just said, look at the birds. And I just got this feeling that this leper, who was sitting completely away from everybody, probably had a little bird buddy, you know, a little hummingbird or something. And so he's like, look at the birds. And so everybody's looking at the birds. And he says, you see these birds? He says, they don't plant. He says, they don't harvest. He says, they don't store it in barns. This is totally opposite of anything that had been taught up to this point in time. This is why the people were amazed, because Jesus was showing how awesome God is. He says, look at all that. And your daddy God feeds them. Your Abba, he feeds them. And then he asks another question. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Do you see this? This leper is now thinking, whoa, 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 whoa. You're telling me God loves me? God didn't put leprosy on me? You're telling me he's going to take care of me? And now that I think about it, he has taken care of me. You get it. That's the scenario. I want you to see the picture of this. And then Jesus asks another question. Can all your worries add one single minute to your life? When you worry about something, when you're constantly worrying about stuff, is that going to add anything to your life, any a minute of it? I know people that are worried because they worry too much. You get it. But Jesus is making an awesome point about the goodness and the greatness of God and who he is. This is building this leper's faith, ladies and gentlemen, because he's used to just hearing the hammer come down. All right? And then Jesus says, I can see this leper still sorting out this thing with his little bird friend here. And then Jesus says, and why do you worry about your clothes? And I just see the leper kind of laughing like, clothes, you call these clothes? Because he barely had anything on because his leprosy was so bad it was painful to put anything on. And then Jesus said, and look at the lilies of the field. I had a picture to show you. It's beautiful there. And it, by the way, the word lilies in the original language, it can mean lilies, but it's flowers. It also is as basic as the word flower. So I think that's how Jesus was talking. I don't use the, because lilies are in the field. But there's acres and acres of this beautiful flower. And I think Jesus just kind of said, look at the fields, guys. And they all looked. And you know, you get so used to how beautiful things are around you, they probably had forgotten how beautiful it is. And they looked around and they see the beauty of it. He says, You see. Look at the beauty. Look at the beauty. And he says, they don't work and they don't make their own clothing. Yet Solomon, who was the richest man in the world up to that point in time financially, Solomon in all of his splendor, the Bible says, in all of his splendor wasn't as beautiful as just one of these. And that leper's now thinking, wait a minute. All of a sudden, when you start talking about the love of Jesus, the love of God, there is something when you talk about that personalizes into your nature. So even right now as I'm talking to you, some of you are going, oh, okay, I'm not as bad as that leper. Oh, you're getting it. Because it's not about how bad the leper was. The leper was starting to understand, this God is so good. And then, of course, Jesus continues in the story with the clothing, and he says, let me see, I have it here. He says, so don't worry about all these things. So he tells this whole story, and then at the end of it, we all know this is out of Matthew chapter 6. He says, so above all else, seek the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom? It's the house. It's where God resides. It's not learning about him. It's getting to know him. You get it. So above all else, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which they didn't understand till Jesus died. Because it wasn't until Jesus died that God said that I will declare you. God says, because of what Christ did on the cross, you are now declared righteous. So seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Literally means, and all of your life will fall into place. It literally means, I wrote another one down that it means too, because again, the language is so wonderful. It means, and he will give you everything that you need. So now having said all that, that leads us up to, go to that same scripture I had. Oh, you're still there. So that leads us up to, now read this scripture. And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Because I just heard what you said. And that's pretty powerful. And I've never heard anybody teach like you teach. I've never heard anybody say that God loves me like that, and that God loves me so much he's going to take care of me no matter in my whatever condition, that I don't have to do anything. Because Jesus, notice how Jesus constantly said in that thing, the birds don't work for what they're doing. And how much more important are you? The lilies of the field aren't doing any work. They lazy lilies. They're just stuck in the ground and sit there, and rain comes and the sunshine comes and they grow to this beautiful thing. They're not doing anything. And this whole time up to this point that Jesus had come, everything was about what you had to do. And now Jesus is saying, chill. Stop worrying. I'm going to take care of you. So now here's what I want to show you, something powerful. I broke this down and I vetted it out, but here's the breakdown. I want you to stay on the breakdown for a second. Let's go to there. Yes. A lot of Greek words. I'm not trying to look important. What I'm wanting to do is make a serious point here. Where let's go to verse, where am I at? There. At the top it says, and a leper came to Jesus beseeching, that's the Greek word parakaleo, him, and falling on his knees, it's a double whammy, that's not where I'm headed, before him and saying, if you are willing, is where he says, if you are in the word thelo, great word, you can dunamai, you can. That means you have, that's the word dunamis power, the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the same word that was used. You have the power, and I'll show you how that works out in a minute. Make me, now this is where I want to stop for a second. Katharizo. Z is a D always in, if you want to ever pronounce one. So it would be, I'm going to the do, if you were going to use it in English, instead of the zoo. Good Lord, y'all are slow. So watch this. Here's what I want you to see. Now remember, when it's a double whammy, when I say a double whammy, when the same word is used twice in this, all right, which is an emphasis of how important this word is. If it's used singly, it still means the same thing, but if it's used doubly, there's an emphasis in it, and one word in the Greek language has a plethora of meaning and depth of meaning. You get what I'm saying? So I want you to see that this leper recognized how messed up he was. He emphasized his sickness. He emphasized the fact that he wasn't whole. And not just the fact that he wasn't whole in leprosy, but his whole in everything. Listen, when we talk about Jesus and Jesus and Jesus and he wants to heal you and heal you, this ain't just about physical healing, ladies and gentlemen. We can be physically healed and be dying of mental cancer. Do you hear what I'm saying? Listen, he wants us to be whole. That word salvation, sozo, means whole. All of you, every avenue of you, every angle of you, emotionally, spiritually, physically, whatever it is. That's what Jesus has already accomplished for us if we will believe and receive. Believe it and receive it and doubt it and do without it and cast your bread out on the water and it'll come back buttered. Doesn't say that, but it sure sounds good, doesn't it? Okay, so he double whammy. He said, you can make me clean, 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 clean. And moved with compassion, double word. That's a serious depth. In fact, that word compassion literally means hitting you in the bowels to where it makes you almost have to go to the bathroom. That's sick, but it's true, in the legitimate thing. So when you get moved like that about somebody, when my daughter died, there was that in me, this deep punch. Now it wasn't compassion, but it was a punch. You understand what I'm saying? But that's what this word means. This word spaghetti, whatever that says. So Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. That word really means. He didn't touch him, you know, he grabbed him and said to him, I am willing. Jesus doubled up the willing. The leper doubled up how bad he was. Jesus doubled up how much he wanted to. You better hear that. This is significant. Because when we grovel, 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 grovel about how bad we are, Jesus is up there telling you how willing he is. And immediately after Jesus said that, which, by the way, and Jesus just used the word kerazo once. Remember? See, the leper used it twice because he's telling how bad he is. And he only used the word, are you willing, once. Jesus used the word willing twice because he really, really wanted him to know. And he's like, yeah, and you're sick. See, here's what's so sad. We think that God has to do this dynamic, supernatural something. When the honest truth is, nothing is supernatural to God. It's natural to him. It's supernatural to us. It's the story of the frog that I've shared here before. The frog? Yes, the frog. The frog had this big rock blocking his way. He couldn't get around it. He couldn't go over it. He couldn't tunnel under it. He couldn't go through it. He was talking to his other frog, and he's saying, man, guys, I can't. We've got to get to the other side. We're going to starve to death. What are we going to do? And they went to seminars to try to figure it out, and they got on their frog phones and called friends, and nobody could figure it out. And then this man and this little boy comes walking by, and the little boy looks down, and he sees this rock, and he picks it up, and he says to his dad, do you think I can skip this on the lake a little bit? Yes, you can, son. And it was the same rock that was blocking these frogs from getting to where they were going. And the frog go, oh my God, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Except for the sun. It was not supernatural. You understand? We everything's supernatural. And it's cool. We like that. But you don't have to make God. Okay. I vetted the whole thing out. This is so good. Here it is. And a leper came to Jesus, and he fell to his knees and humbly begged and pleaded with him. The Bible clearly says for us to keep seeking, keep knocking, and keep. But the Bible doesn't tell us to beg. You don't have to beg. You just have to get in agreement with what has already happened. Get into agreement with what has already happened. Okay? So a leper came to Jesus, fell to his knees, and humbly begged and pleaded with him, saying, this is exactly what this means. If you want to, you have the power and ability to cure my disease. How many of us have said this? And remove the corruption my sin has caused. Free me from the guilt of it, acquit the charges against me, and restore me to wholeness. When he double whammied that word, that incorporates every avenue of his life. I think through the teaching that he heard of Jesus and the goodness and the love that God has for mankind, when Jesus started with, man, don't let money enslave you, and then explained why, and it wasn't because of what you were doing, it's because of how good God is. And he started receiving that and soaking that in and getting that. Man, he realized, I don't just have leprosy. I got to have a whole new fronio change. Mind change, sorry. That's what the word fronio. Mind change. God said, Jesus says, I will transform you by the renewing of your mind. It's our mind, not our heart. Our heart is turned towards God. Our mind says he won't because we're bad. The truth says he does because he's already accomplished it. It ain't because you're bad. It's because he's good. So if you want the power, you have the power, Jesus, to remove this corruption my sin has caused and free me from the guilt of it and acquit the charges against me and restore me to wholeness. Now here's Jesus' response. And Jesus, this was a double whammy of compassion. Jesus was moved from the depth of his heart, his soul, and spirit. Remember, Jesus was God, but Jesus was man. And in divine love, kindness, tenderness, grace, mercy, and compassion, he stretched out his powerful hand and grabbed him and said to him, I not only want to, but I love, delight, and take pleasure in you. Your body, mind, soul, and spirit is totally healed, and you are now fit, sane, and sound. And at that very moment, the leprosy and all the suffering it had caused left him, and he was clean, spotless, and whole. Why? Because Jesus said he wanted to. June, it's not your level of faith. Hear me. It's not your level of faith that God healed you. It's not because you're this great woman of God and nobody else is. It's because He wanted to.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Because He loves you. Because He loves you. Because He loves you. Not like any other love you've experienced in this world. Because He loves you. And you, oh yeah, you believed. You went to Him and you proclaimed, yes. But He wanted to. He wants to, guys. Do you hear me? I don't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your situation. It doesn't matter how sick you are. Ron, He wants to. He didn't make you have this stroke or whatever the people are wanting to call. I don't care. He's not expecting you to do something. He doesn't have this grand plan that if you'll line up and cross every T and dot every I. He doesn't do that.
He doesn't.
He heals because He wants to. Because He loves you. Do you see? Because He loves you. Because He loves you. Oh, I do too. But I can't come near His.
But why don't I just jump out of this?
I don't know. I don't know that part. I don't know that. I don't care about that part. Why did the leper be sick for so long? Why didn't he show up earlier in Jesus? I don't know. Why did the guy that didn't get thrown in the water for 33 years? I don't know. That's not the point, is it? John chapter 9 is great, where they all try to decide why Jesus healed the blind guy. The blind guy says, man, you keep asking me all these questions. Why did you heal me on the Sabbath? Why? And the dude says, I don't know none of this stuff. I don't even know the guy. I was blind when he healed me. I didn't even see his face. But I do know one thing. Once I was blind, but now I see. And I'm going to tell you this, and this makes real sense to me. I was in Los Angeles, California, back in the day. I was hitchhiking, and I stood for 10 hours on the corner. 10 hours. Because if you moved hitchhiking, cops would get you. I wasn't cop-friendly back then. And I was hitchhiking, and I was miserable, and I was complaining, and I was griping, and I finally got picked up. This guy let me get in the back of his pickup truck, and I actually had a pickup truck in California. It was God, too, probably. Got in the back of his pickup truck, and I wasn't 5 minutes in the ride, and I had totally forgotten about the 10 hours I had just spent. You get it? You're on the road. But your ride's coming. I can't tell you when. Don't know what that, but I just want you to know when it happens, it's because He wanted to. All of us that think that we have some kind of magic thing that we can do or will do or think we can be taught to do, it doesn't work that way. It's because He wants to. Because He loves you. Because every single person that He died for is you. Do you hear me? What are you struggling with? I don't know. He wants to. Johnny, He wants to. Those things that you want to see accomplished in life, your daughter, dadgummit, it ain't going to be because of any kind of craziness, we awesome prayers that we, it's going to be because He wants to. And He does want to. He does. He wants to. That's how He... If you have your child sitting next to you, anybody, just look at them and go, I help you because I want to, not because you earned it. Come on, mama. Come on. Say it to them. And they're going to be all embarrassed because they're teenagers, because the rest of them are in children's church. How do I build my faith in that, Steve? Well, you have to start believing what happened. See, the truth is the leper didn't think Jesus wanted the healing. Well, so we know we are healed, but we don't believe that He wants to. But then the Word says right there, not only does He want to, but He loves, delights, and takes pleasure in us. When David, King David, was constantly being chased by the enemy, man, he had some cool guys. He had one dude that had six fingers and six toes on each foot and stuff, and that big dude. And how would you like that to happen? I mean, just the six-finger thing would throw you away. He had an awesome group of guys that protected him, and Saul was trying to kill him because Saul didn't want him to be king no more, and they were all kings of different departments. You know, Saul was king of Israel and David of Judah, but God had protected him, and finally one day this song broke out into David. That, in fact, he wrote it in Psalms, I think it's Psalms 118. Psalms, well, it's on the scripture. here's a scripture. This is actually from the story. What had just happened is he had just been saved. Some of his guys had just protected him from battle. Guy came up to kill him, and Abishag killed the dude. And they said, David, you can't come to the battles no more, man. Somebody's going to sneak up and kill you, and we need you. So this has all happened. So here's what David did. And this is a song, and again, it's written in Psalms 18. I said 118. It's Psalms 18. It says the identical words, by the way. Read your Bible, and you're going to see some really cool stuff. David wrote most of the Psalms. Well, his life was prior to that, which is in Samuel and other places. So you get to see a repeat. So I won't sing it to you because I don't know the song, but I do know the lyrics. Here it is. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from those who hated me, and they were too strong for me. They attacked me at a moment when I was in distress, but the Lord supported me. He led me to a place of safety, and He rescued me because He delights in me. David understood that God delights in him. How can David be that way? He's worse than all of us. David's the one that not only had sex outside of marriage when he saw he was supposed to have been in battle. He wasn't in battle. He sees Bathsheba. She's beautiful. She's bathing. And he says, go get her. They do their thing. He sends her back. She's married to Uriah. And long story short, she gets pregnant. David wants to hide it. He calls him off the battlefield, tries to get him to go stay with his wife so that he can have his way with her so that she'll get pregnant so they won't know, because back then they didn't have Maury Povich to do that thing. Yes, you are the father, David. Whack, there goes Maury's head rolling down. So he was trying to cover up his sin, if you will. And what happened? Well, Uriah said, no, listen, you let me come home. I'm not gonna dishonor the guys on the battlefield. This is how much integrity this guy had. I'm not going to touch my wife. Well, now, so then David freaks out, writes a note and says, put him to Joab, put him on the very front of the line, basically to make sure he gets killed. So now David goes from just being an adulterer to being a murderer. Then he was just, what a piece of scum he was. He, just to save his own skin, remember when he went to King Aram and to save his own skin, he started acting like he was a madman. The Bible says he would let spittle drool down his chin, down his beard. Just because, and they're like, oh my God, he's crazy. Get him out, and they kicked him out. And David said, God delights in him? David got it. In fact, David's the only person that the Bible says that was after God's own heart. David understood, and he received it, and he got it. God delights in you. The next little short story is the Queen of Sheba. Solomon was this awesome. He had everything you'd ever want. And this Queen of Sheba wanted to talk to him. And the Bible says she asked him tons and tons and tons of questions. And then she realized how wise he was. And, he had all this stuff. And she brought him, by the way, she brought him more stuff. Like, he needed more stuff. She brought him jewelry and gold and tons of camels and all this as a gift for him. But then here's the words from her. To Solomon. She says, praise the Lord your God, who delights in you and has placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, He's made you king so that you can rule with justice and righteousness. This is somebody from the outside looking in that recognized that God delights in His people. Isaiah prophesied it. Never again will you be called the forsaken city or the desolate land. Your new name will be the city of God's delight and the bride of God, for the Lord delights in you and will claim you as His bride. Yeah. Whatever, Steve, whatever. Well, here, let's look at Zephaniah. See if you like this one. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness, with His love. He'll calm all of your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. I said this a couple weeks ago, or however long, but it's true. God's a stalker. God is stalking you. When you're asleep, you think...
He's looking at you. He's going, he's singing. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. What's your name? Marissa. My dear Marissa. Man, I'm having trouble sleeping. Dude, he's singing joyful songs over you. He stalks you. He loves you. He's a stalker. Go ahead, tell all your friends, oh my God, that preacher guy at CCOW said that God's a stalker. And I'll say, well, yeah, he used to work at Winn-Dixie. You'll get it here in a second. All right, that's Old Testament. We hate Old Testament. Let's go to New Testament. My favorite scripture in New Testament right here. This is what I write in every time I sign one of your books. So don't be afraid. How many times, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus walking through life, the apostles, Peter, Paul, all of them would talk about this fear that has. And here Luke is saying, where Jesus said, don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness, the word pleasure fits there as well, to give you the kingdom. But then here's my last scripture that I want you to see, because I think this will incorporate every thought that I've given you today, and that's out of Ephesians here. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us. I capitalized it. In Christ. He chose us in Christ to do the following. He chose us in Jesus, in what Jesus did, not in anything that we can do. You get it? So He chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. And God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus. This is what He wanted to do. This is what He wanted to do. Jesus didn't twist His arm and say, man, you know what I did on the cross? You know what I did on the cross? You better step up here. He did this because this is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. Not only did He want to do it, it gave Him great pleasure. The only way I can try to bring it down to a human understanding, which is completely not a divine understanding, is children at Christmas time. How many times did we do it ourselves? How many times did I receive a gift like this? When I was a child, I wanted a BB gun. And back then, it wasn't politically incorrect to have a BB gun. And I wanted a BB gun. And I told my parents, no, you can't have a BB gun. No, you can't have a BB gun. And so I'm just not going to get a BB gun. And I was all bummed. Christmas came, and I opened my presents, and I didn't get a BB gun. And then all of a sudden, out of the back room pops my dad with a daisy. Not airsoft, you sissies. Copper BBs. I was so proud, man. I took that gun outside, shot a bird, and started bawling because I hit it. Now, I didn't kill it. I was trying to, I guess. I hit it, and it just kind of started limping a little bit and looking at me like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize, because I'm the child, I didn't realize the delight that was in my parents until I became a parent. And what's so funny is you kind of do the same things. So we would, the best gift, we was always hang back for last. So, you know, our kids, we'd want this. Oh, I really want this. So they'd open it, and they wouldn't get it. And dad would sneak back in the back. I'm more excited. You know what I'm saying. I'm more excited than they are. Please hear me. Could you imagine God being more excited than you about doing something for you? So I bring it out, and you know, listen, our kids were great. They were never, oh man. My kids were great. So they were grateful for what they had got. You know, they didn't know my roots of hiding one back. Bring it out. Oh, it gave them good pleasure. over the top. They're, thank you. I'm holding back tears. Why? Because I wanted so much, not to please them, but through my giving, love them. If you could grasp the fact that God does that, You won't be so concerned about how dumb you are. You're going to be how awesome He is. Because in all honesty, throughout the year of that time, I'm sure at one point in time, one of my children that got the little extra hide gift, they didn't deserve it. I'm sure they did something wrong. I'm sure, you know, Jake used to put golf balls with a hockey stick through the window accidentally. How you accidentally do that, I'll never figure out. You got to be swinging the hockey stick over to the golf ball in your house. Dad, I didn't mean to. I know you. What do you mean you didn't mean to? Then why'd you swing the hockey stick? You know, we do all that, but then it doesn't matter. Because we love our children so much, we love to do that. So listen, this year with your kids, the ones that are back there that can't hear you, whatever they really want and you know you're going to get, but you don't want it, just hold a bag. Don't even wrap it. Hide it in a place where they can't find it. It seems cruel, but it's awesome. I'll tell you what's cruel is my parents, even older. True story. My parents, how dare them. I'm mad. I'm going to get bitter here. No, I was two real quick stories. When I was young, I wanted a football. We were poor. We didn't have money. And I wanted a football. That's all I asked for because it was one of those one gift times because we always moved. I wanted a football. And underneath, I opened the box, and it was a tee, a football tee. And in sincerity of heart, I smiled and I said, well, thank you. And I thought in my mind, well, maybe next year I'll get the football. You know, because again, I'm a child. And I wasn't ungrateful. And thank God, because there was other areas where I was. But this was prior to drugs. You know, so I was a grateful kid. And so I'm like, well, thank. And I was seriously, well, then, you know, my dad comes out of the football. But no, we were married when this one happened. And everybody's on their gifts, and there's this big box of boots, which I didn't know was boots. I unwrapped it, and it's boots. My boots that were wrapped. And so I pull them out, and I'm like, okay, well, yeah, you couldn't afford nothing this year. We'll just re-gift you and hope you don't remember because we know how you forget, you know. Well, then what had happened, there was a ring they had put in the boot that there's another thing cool about God. This was something I didn't really ask for. They just thought it would benefit me, and I wore that ring forever. Isn't that amazing? He will give you abundantly above all that you ask or even think of. If we as human stinking people love our kids like that, if you could grasp the depth of the love that He has for you, you would be just like that leper, except Jesus took off the if. That leper said, man, if you want to. And Jesus said, oh, I want to. There are no ifs with God. Everything has been accomplished on the cross. And it's not if you have enough faith, because, baby, I can show you in Scripture, and that's probably one of them I'll do a whole full thing on, where they tore the roof open, and the Bible says that by their faith, he was healed. He didn't have nothing to do with his own. And for years we were taught. I've seen people be prayed for and they don't get healed. And the arrogant dude says, well, you just didn't have enough faith. No, bull. That's bull. He just was embarrassed because his little thing didn't work. How's that for being real? Now, I'm saying all that to say, let's go back and I'm done to what I've vetted. This is just so who God is. Man. Keep going back, man. Oh, no, my bad. You're right. And a leper came to Jesus, fell to his knees, and humbly begged and pleaded, please, God, I swear I'll straighten up if you'll just do this for me. God, I won't do that, so I'm stupid. I know I made my bed, I'll sleep in it. I know, God, I'm so sorry. Is that praying? Silly. Could you imagine? I could imagine my son came up. Oh, God, Dad, I'm so sorry. I'll never knock that football in there again. I was looking at him like, really? Just talk to me normal. Because he made you normal. Well, that's a whole new sermon right there. Not going to talk about normal. No, we won't go there. If you want to, and this is a legitimate question, if you want to, you have the power to cure me, remove the corruption of my sin that's caused it, free me from the guilt of it, acquit me the charges against me, and restore me to wholeness. Good Lord, I am messed up. I'm not just a leper. I'm messed up, and I know you've got the power, God, if you're just willing. And Jesus was moved so deep from his heart and his soul and his spirit in divine love, kindness, tenderness, grace, mercy, compassion, and I told you so. That's what we think God does to us. I told you so. You know, here's what you think God's saying to you. You know, in the Bible, it says that you shouldn't do that. You know, in the Bible, do you not understand the enemy used the Bible against Jesus when he went into temptation? He quoted the Bible. Jesus just happened to know the Bible better. Let me tell you something. Your life will change when you start knowing the Bible better than the devil. And when I say the devil, I'm talking about some of the devil's helpers. Because some of the devil's helpers, they can quote you scripture out of context just crazy. Most of the time, it'll be in King James Version. But man, they'll just grab it and grab this and grab this. And I've told you a million times. You know, the Bible says Judas went and hanged himself. The Bible says, go ye and do likewise. It does. The Bible says it, and I believe it. So we're going to start the Jack Kevorkian Holy Ghost Revival meeting where we just help people die. Because the Bible says, that's it. Because the Bible says Judas went and hanged himself. And the Bible says, go ye and do likewise. Because it does in separate areas, blah, blah, blah. Sylvia, you're looking at me like, oh, my God. No, separate areas, I promise. Here's Jesus with all this craziness of love. I couldn't find enough English words to incorporate without making it a big old long thing. It hit what moved him. And he stretched out his hand and he grabbed the dude. Now hold up. Just like I told you last week, when he grabbed him, that made Jesus unclean too. Because you touch an unclean, you're unclean. It's amazing. Jesus kept touching unclean people. And I get abused for touching unclean people. But I'm not saying you're unclean, Johnny, but I'm going to touch him. I can't let it go.
Well, I did need bathroom.
That's right. This is what I love about him. It's not about your opinion of him. It's about who he is. Wow. So look, he says, just think of this. I not only want to, but I love, delight, and take pleasure in you. I not only want to heal your body, I not only want to heal your mind, I think you're a pretty cool dude. I want to hang with you. God wants to hang with you. It's not all about you hanging with him. He wants to hang with you. I love, delight, and pleasure in you. Your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit is now totally healed. And you're fit, you're sane, and you're sound. And at that very moment, man, oh man, that leprosy and all the suffering that had caused it. Isn't that cool? All the suffering that had caused it left him. And he was clean, spotless, and whole. And the church still tried to kill him. But it ain't about the church, it's about him. I want you to stand with me. Been telling you a couple weeks, Jesus taught, his teaching was amazing. But after he taught, he would always just heal people. I'm starting to understand why that would work, because by his teaching built the faith of the people. When I say faith, again, the word pistis is belief in who God is. Jesus spoke how awesome God was and then proved it through his death so that we, I say through his death and resurrection, so that we can gain an even deeper knowledge and understanding of how good God is. But Jesus taught this completely different. And the people would, again, the word would say that they would be amazed at the authority that he spoke with. He, when when we think of authority, we think of, you know. No, his authority was, he knew who he was, and he expressed who he was, and he didn't give a rip what anybody else thought about who he was. But who he was is love, and is mercy, and is compassion, and is grace, and is I want to, and is I will heal you, and is you are healed. That is who he is, and it offended the church because it was taking money from the church because the church had this whole thing set up. It didn't matter to Jesus. He got killed for it, but wow, thank God he did. Can you say that? Wow. He said, thank God Jesus got killed. That's exactly what I said. Because if he didn't, I'd be messed up. But he did. And he did it for us. And he did it because God allowed him to. Yeah, God so loved the world he gave. Yes, he did. But Jesus did it because he wanted to. Remember when he struggled with it? Sweating drops of blood, which, by the way, that literally can happen. It's not blood. It's blood corpuscles. You're stressed out so much that red comes out with your sweat because you're so stressed out. That does happen, and it was like that. And in the midst of that, he said, man, God, I don't want to do this, but hey, not what I want to do, but what you want to do. Not my will, but thine be done. That's how we always say it, right? But what he was saying is, I don't want to, but I will do it because you want to, and now I want to. Everything Jesus has ever done, I want to. Do you honestly think that Jesus took all that punishment on the cross, listen to me, so that he can stand up here right now and go, nah. No, you don't feel well. No, you know, if you'll do this, this, and this. Wow. That's not who he is. If you're here today, I don't care what your issue. I don't care what your issue. I don't care if it's physical, mental, social. If you have that social media disease, cast it out. Jesus is here today, and I don't mean he's like right in this spot. But there's a reason that people come to an altar. We call it an altar. What's so ironic is an altar is a place of death. So altar works in all kinds of different ways. A lot of people say you come to the altar so that you can die to your sin. You're dead already. You just have to realize it. If you know Jesus, if you have accepted him, believe in who he is and what he did. But I want to offer this place. I just want you to come. I just want to pray with you. We prayed with people last week. We're going to pray this week. We're going to pray till Jesus comes or until he switches, shifts gears or whatever. I'm telling you right now, whatever the situation, if it's your finances and you have just done stupid, so the whole time you're thinking, God cannot provide me finances because I have blown so much money, stop it. He wants to. You know, God, you could get me out of debt if you wanted to. He wants to. He doesn't have that checklist up there of the things you've done wrong. All he has is Jesus sitting in front of him that has accomplished everything on the cross. Well, you know, that boss is on my last nerve. I'm telling you, I need a new job. Do you? Or does he want to bring wholeness in that area? And maybe that's an area where you can shine. I'm telling you, God's going to use this church to multiply and not divide. And I'm not, and again, I'm not, I just, that's a word from the Lord for me. Because we always think the opposite of division is unity. No. The opposite of addition is subtraction. The opposite of division is multiplication. See, because when God multiplies in us the love and everything that is in us, it can't help but roll out onto other folks. And other folks start really believing that Jesus is all who he says he is. And it doesn't become about issues, and it doesn't compartmentalize people any longer. And you know, you're in this group, and you're in this group, and you're in this group. Whether it's denomination or cliques or friends or what, it just sets it all aside, and it's like, woo! Jesus loves me. This I know, because the Bible does tell me so. So I want to pray with you. If you want to pray, we got other people that'll come and pray with you too. We just want to pray. We just want to help you to hang on to this understanding of, I want to. Jesus wants to bring wholeness in your life. Okay? Come on. He loves you because He wants to. Everything He does is because He wants to. At any point in time in the history of mankind, He could squash us all like a bug and start it over. But He didn't want to. The leper said, if you're willing, if you want to, Jesus, you can. And Jesus said, I want to. In every area of your life.